Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome back to Recall the Midwife. We are three friends and three fans of the show, and each week we watch the show and discuss. Today we are talking about Series 7, Episode 8. I'm Becky.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jen. A reminder that this week's episode deals with death and dying, grief and loss, adoption, LGBTQIA+ issues. So if those are ones you would prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one. In this week's episode, the whole of Nanata's house are mourning Barbara. Her funeral is held, and afterwards Tom is left with a week away with his family and a decision about where he will go and what he will do next. Lucille is caring for Olive Mawson, an expectant mother who has just left her unhappy marriage. She goes to stay with her father Stan, the local movie projectionist, and his friend, her quote, uncle, Donald, comes over frequently. When Uncle Donald appears at the house with no trousers on and is very disoriented, the police and Dr. Turner get involved. Dr. Turner diagnoses Donald with pre-senile dementia, and a reckoning with Olive reveals that her father and Donald are, in fact, a couple. Olive gives birth at the maternity home, and the family find a new way forward. Phyllis is struggling with Barbara's loss intensely and dealing with a painful flare-up in her back. She connects with a teen mother, Josie Winterly, who is giving up her baby for adoption. Phyllis delivers the baby, and two wonderful things result. Somehow her back is healed, and Josie feels compelled to name the new baby Barbara. Last, amidst all the sadness, Sister Monica Jones' birthday draws near. The women work to think of a way to celebrate without violating the nun's vows and decide on a party at the community center featuring a retrospective movie of Sister Monica Jones' life.
Well, all I can say is Nanata's house and people in Poplar are not the only ones mourning Barbara because...
Oh, girls. Did we... all of us were texting each other saying how sad we were to watch this episode. I put it off until the last moment because I was just like, "This, I'm just going to sob." I soaked through a whole tissue.
Well, I'm not going to put it on the actual social media, but I sent you to a photo of me sobbing my eyes out.
Well, the thing is, you guys were both saying you're crying, and I'm always the big crier, and I was like, oh, and the episode started, and I was like, okay, I'm feeling okay, I think I can do this, and then Phyllis got up there, and I just was like, absolutely gone, and I was like, well, never mind, 2 minutes in, and I'm done for, so forget that. Oh, God.
I was doing okay, and then it was the montage. Oh, the montage.
There are so many bits. Just keep all through my notes. I've just got so many bits that say, this is what broke me. But to be honest, from the very start, I was off. And then by the end of that, it was a snotty mess.
Well, wait, what montage? Because we didn't get a montage.
What, the film
for Sister Monica Jones?
Oh. Okay, no, we got that. I thought you were talking about something earlier that was like just Barbara or something. Okay.
No,
the Sister Monica Joan footage like was really heartbreaking. I mean, it was really happy and wonderful to see it and everything, but
oh yeah, it was tears, but also like horrific tears because we miss Barbara, and it was just
Do you think that was the real Sister Monica Joan?
No,
what do you mean? Well, loads of photos were her when she was younger. Yeah,
the real actress or the real lady?
Yeah, the real lady.
Oh, that's
if
a good
we were better. If we were a better podcast, we would have found this out.
Well, or better prepared podcast.
But how would we have found it out, in all honesty? Because
there's no better podcast.
You just Googled it.
I mean, it looks like the actress more than it looks like the real lady. But then at the same time, I would totally believe that the team at Call the Midwife with Heidi Thomas would have like researched her in real life and then have found real pictures of her and then just inserted them. But the thing is, there's no way, because how would they have had video footage of Sister Monica Joan getting ordained in like 1900, right?
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way that they would have like a video of that.
Especially
And
as
I
that
was
is
thinking,
absolutely not a nun thing to do, film stuff and keep it.
yeah. No.
I mean,
And I
I
was
could
gonna.
see them having the video footage for like a newsreel of them in the during the war. That I saw, that I think was could be real, but I don't know.
I did love the talk about the montage. There was that bit
Yeah.
where they'd like they'd made Sister Julienne, Sister Evangelina, and Sister Monica Joan look young. There's like
They like
CGI, I
Benjamin
don't.
buttoned them back to,
Yeah.
you know,
See,
like
I didn't really notice
1940.
that because I couldn't see at that point. I was.
Oh God, yeah. I was just gone. Like then once, you know, they started just showing all of the new nuns and everything. They had Chummy and Peter getting married, and they had all the ladies, and then they had Barbara and Tom at the picnic doing the three-legged race and stuff. And then what I was really sobbing was when it was Barbara and Tom's wedding.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I've just really lost it at that point. Oh. Well, wait, so should we just kind of like quote rewind and just talk about like losing Barbara? Because that's the kind of thing that's just draped over the whole episode, basically. Like, you know, should we just kind of go into that to
Yeah,
begin?
so they start obviously with Barbara's funeral because in the last episode we sadly lost Barbara.
Yeah.
And
But it
can
was
I
the
just say though, the first bit with the 60s food, even though it was no real difference to modern day food, it was just bread, salad, and ham. I thought, oh, that looks delicious. Like it just made me think, it just, I don't know, there's something more wholesome about it and just made it probably not as full of vitamin, not vitamins, as not full of additives and stuff.
Yeah. Well, here's something that I don't know if any other Americans are going to like care about this, but when I moved to the UK, when you guys would say a ham salad sandwich, I or any salad sandwich, like I didn't understand what that meant, because I just thought it was how we have like chicken salad over here. But you guys just mean putting like lettuce and tomato on a sandwich.
Why, what's chicken
Yeah.
salad sandwich over there?
Well, chicken salad here is like, it would be like, you know how you guys say like tuna mayo or egg mayo? It would be
It's
like
like a
chicken
chopped,
mayo.
it's all incorporated.
Yeah, so you have like chicken, mayonnaise, seasoning, celery, like, you know, whatever you put in a chicken salad. And then that's like its own kind of like sandwich filling. And then if you
Sounds
put lettuce and tomato or any other kind of vegetable in there, then that's just extra.
no offense,
But
but
you
that
would.
sounds awful. And it also does not describe a chicken salad. Like a chicken
Oh
and
no,
salad
I
is
think
chicken
that's
salad.
amazing. I've been watching lots
Chicken
of
salad's delicious,
TikToks
sorry.
about chopped salads and sandwiches. So it's really riveting.
Chicken salad is delicious, sorry. Like, I mean, you can have bad chicken
Yeah, but why is
salads
it
and you
not
can
called
have.
like chicken mix?
That sounds
The
awful.
thing is, when we say salad, we mean literally like a whole, like the whole thing is like a bowl of like lettuce, tomato, carrot, cucumber, celery with like dressing on top, like a salad. Like just putting a couple pieces of lettuce and a piece of tomato on a sandwich is not a salad to us. That's like,
Yeah,
that's
but you're
just
adding salad things to it.
look, it doesn't, it's just two different cultures, okay? We don't have to have a big fight about it. You can think that like,
Respect her
yes.
culture, Alex.
Yes. It's just
Well,
different. It's
she's
not.
saying that our salad sandwich isn't salad, and it fucking is.
It can be salad. All I'm saying is that it was confusing for me as American, because when I went over there, I was like, what is this? And I just didn't know. And then like I had to do with a
But
lot of
it is
things.
chicken with salads, chicken salad sandwich.
I just It's just one of those things when you don't know and then you have to like try to find out. And a lot of times I was like, I'm just gonna find out the hard way because I have no idea what this is, and we're just gonna learn to, you know, like
Bet.
or
Do you remember in the second year when we used to go to that place
Donut.
called Donuts and have those amazing chicken salad sandwiches?
This is so awful. We used to go to this, it was called Donuts. We used to go.
Oh.
I used to get chicken and coleslaw baguette. Alex used to get brie and cranberry. Was it brie and cranberry or brie and grape?
It depended if I had brie and cranberry, brie and grape, or chicken salad. They're all delicious.
You know when you eat something and then you think, oh, I could just eat that again. We used to buy two.
We used to buy two, and they were big baguettes.
And when you would order the chicken, it would be like just chunks of chicken, I guess.
Yeah, chops. Yeah,
Yeah.
sliced chicken breasts.
There you
Oh, it
go.
was so good.
Oh, it was so good.
It sounds delicious, actually.
It
But it was
was.
the
Anyway,
fact that it was like a routine of us to come buy
come
two
on.
together.
Yeah, but also the worst thing was you just used to go when I used to be like, "I'm waiting. Where is it?"
I know. Can I
I used to
just
get
say?
the DVD ready. We used to watch Angel and I used to get that ready.
Yeah. Oh, the glory days.
Take me back. I wasn't even there, but I'm like, take me back.
You did come and visit. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Right. Sorry. So yeah, Sister Winifred was chopping vegetables and salad for the funeral, obviously. So she was obviously making sandwiches and stuff for a cold spread.
Cold spread.
Oh, I love a cold spread. I love that Val brought Phyllis and Lucille a cup of tea.
Same.
There's nothing better.
Val and Lucille were amazing this episode.
Oh god. Yeah. And then poor Phyllis was like, you know, just over a year ago, there was a white wedding dress hanging on that door. And then the camera cuts over to like all their mourning clothes, like their black dresses that they're gonna wear.
Picture rail, but yeah.
Oh,
that was
god.
The first thing that broke me.
Oh man. Same. I was gone.
And then Fred and Tom.
Point.
Fred went round to Tom and Tom was so despondent. And Fred was like,
so
come
sad.
On, we're going to get ready and all this. And he was like, you can sort out your ablutions and washing, but I'm going to get you shaved. And while he was shaving him, he just looked so despondent, just like he had nothing. He just was, it was horrible.
Well, the way that Tom was laying his head on Fred while he was being shaved, you know what? It was actually, it really, really broke my heart. And it was such a rare, honestly rare, but like such a beautiful moment where men are being so tender and so vulnerable with each other. And I just thought, like, this is something you never see men do, is like this kind of like way. And it just was, it was just absolutely so disarming. And the way Fred says, you know, just like I said when we got to Africa, you know, you're in a foreign country, you need like a shower, a shave, and a trip to the Kazi. And he said, but I'm not in a foreign country, I'm in my home. And then Fred says, I know, but it's like you don't know where, but it's not anywhere you've ever been before. Meaning,
and let's be honest,
you know,
Fred knows, because Fred's lost
Fred
his
knows.
Partner, yeah.
Yeah, he's been through it. And I just,
It was really well done.
Tom,
so then
Tom
he gets
was
him
on
ready.
Level this week. He was on another level.
He was. When Tom bursts into tears at the church. Oh my God.
Oh my word, now, I know.
I know that we're being, this is a serious episode.
You want to bring down the tone, Bex?
Well, no, but I just, was there fake tears? Do you think they just dripped them into Tom's, like, do you think as an actor he was struggling to cry?
I thought it was really genuine. And the thing is, I've not been as super, super, I mean, I've been a little bit hard on Tom at times.
Let's be honest, guys, she slagged him right off.
I just didn't know. It just seemed a bit, I just thought it was
fake. You weren't feeling the emotion from him as much.
No.
See, I actually felt like he would, I mean, well, this is gonna sound rude. I hope it's not, but whatever. But like, I've said that Tom, I think at times is kind of like not the best actor, you know, like his performances are kind of, you know, whatever at times. But like
did he really put it together for this episode?
Sorry. Well, the thing is, last episode, I thought he was on another level. And this episode, I thought he was another level too. Like, I just, my heart was just broken for this man. Like, he was really, like, when he was in the chapel with Sister Julianne and she said, your parents are here. And, like, he was just like, I'm going to go away for a week, but what am I supposed to do? Like, her dad offered me a post in New Guinea, but I just don't know and everything. And then she said something about, I don't know, she said something to him, but then he grabbed her hand and kind of like intertwined his fingers in hers, and there was just something about it that was just so intense. I don't know, I don't know what it is with Tom.
I'm about to ruin that because I wrote down here Tom insulting the nuns cleaning, a name still on the board. Like,
I know,
absolute,
I didn't think
slovenly
he was.
People
oh no,
I don't think he was insulting their cleaning.
No, he wasn't. It was a hilarious joke.
Oh,
and
sorry.
And then Julianne crying as she's her cleaning's not up to scratch. She was there like crying, trying to take off the name, but it wasn't coming off. It wasn't because the cleaning wasn't up to scratch, just saying.
Yeah, no, she was just like, that was what was getting her going. And then that was right after Sister Monica Joan had gotten all mad at the TV and had like banged it and everything. And, you know, that was her kind of grief outburst and stuff, and just, it was just so.
Phyllis is reading when the baby starts crying. She's like, please don't take the baby out. Please don't. Oh, it was so powerful.
None of us minds the sound of a baby crying. I know. Well, and girls, I mean, I'll probably say something bigger about this later on, maybe at Heroes and Zeros, but that poem was so perfect. And I thought about this earlier, actually, when I was thinking about this, the recording and everything. And I've talked about it before because I just think this show depicts like grief and loss in such a very real, real way.
Yeah.
And I speak from personal experience, but, you know, just hearing other people talk about this experience as well. Like, the most painful thing and the only remedy for really, really intense grief is just going on and living and like living a good life.
Yeah.
And it's the last thing you want to do, and it's the hardest thing you'll like do as you're trying to deal with that, but it's the only way to go forward. And I just, that poem just summed it up so perfectly and so beautifully,
and it was read so beautifully. Well, then Phyllis, she wasn't coping very well with the funeral either, was she, Nurse Crane? She went upstairs on her own, saying, "I've never found grief and a cold spread an easy combination." And Lucille went up to check on her, and also she was first on call, so she went to get ready. But she was, you know, she wasn't coping with that great. But then she just kind of threw herself back into work, but then also threw her back out, which didn't help.
Yeah. Well, that to me was a complete, like, that was, I mean, it was legitimate, but it was like very, to me, it felt like it had a real connection to her loss, you know, like her body.
Like a physical manifestation.
Yeah. Her body was just like, you know, listen, like, this is how we feel. This is how we're going to respond.
And Val and Lucille at the funeral just reminded me of so many, I mean, I've not been to that many funerals, but whenever I've been to a funeral and it's been like a family funeral and you're like waiting on and serving and clearing up. But the point you said about Phyllis, like, Phyllis actually says the world doesn't stop. We've got to carry on.
It doesn't.
And on that, shall we talk about Lucille and Olive and her dad, Mr. Hodgkiss? And Uncle Donald. These are the notes
quote,
I've got.
The quote upbeat story of the week, if we're going to.
So the girl, Olive, she was Scarlet in EastEnders a while ago. She was like this controversial American Scarlet they had in EastEnders. Mm. She was Dirty Den's daughter, secret daughter with Vicky Fowler. Anyway, her husband cheated on her, so she's moved back home with her dad. Her mum's died, but Uncle Donald lives next door. Now, you know, Uncle Donald walked in, we spoke about it in the thing, you know, he was walking around with no pants and everyone's all looking at him. That's the dream I have, right? But I'm topless and I'm walking around and I've totally forgotten to put, like, my top on.
Well, like, topless with a bra on, or topless?
No bra. Oh, no, if I had a bra on, I'd be fine.
Because Donald at least has, I mean, he has his underwear on. He doesn't have pants on, which is a problem, but like, he has his underwear on at least. I mean, it's still embarrassing and obviously looks bad, but you know, but yeah. Oh,
can I just say also about Donald? I thought he was a brilliant actor. I think he portrayed it
really good.
So wow. I love
Donald.
Same. I just loved him. He had a real gorgeous, likable quality about him, didn't he?
Yeah.
The first time when he knocked on the door and he said he was ironing service and he'd come to do one of Stan's shirts.
Oh, no.
I just loved him.
I love him. And then, so Lucille goes to the police station because she's just, you know, trying to sort it all out. And then Dr. Turner turns up and if he's homosexual, he's homosexual. It was another, like,
leave him alone. Okay.
If he's homosexual, he's homosexual. That's nothing to do with this now. And he's like, well, it kind of is. Because he's just a job's worth. And he's like, well, it's not. But then Dr. Turner, because he was, you know, obviously, of course, Dr. Turner was the one who was on call with the police station this, you know, that day.
Yeah.
He did tests with Dr. Turner to basically find out if there was an issue with his memory or anything.
Do you know what? I think I've been on a night out and they've had like a magician who goes around the tables. And then he's called on me and he's done this trick. And then he said to me, now, what was your card? And I felt so much pressure of everyone around the table watching me. I was like, I don't know what my card was. So I think if I had to name all those things on the tray, I just think the pressure would be too much for me.
You know what? I actually did think that. Like, I wouldn't be fine.
I felt the
fine.
Same.
I'd be absolutely fine. But I was like, oh, that's quite a lot of pressure to put on him.
I really did look at that tray of objects and I was like, God, would I pass that test? I mean, I know I, like, although I will say, you know what, I thought about that. So my office Christmas party this year, we were at this, it was a weird Christmas party. Like, it was nice, but it was weird. But anyways, I mean, I guess maybe as a lot of Christmas parties with your coworkers are, but anyways, long story short, blah, blah, blah. So we're at this venue and we're playing a game and it's like everyone from our department playing this game. And basically they had a screen and they basically did this thing where they show, it was kind of like a test for this, right? They showed a whole bunch of objects related to Christmas and the holidays. And then they took them all away. And then they were like, okay, now amongst your team, say what you remembered from the collection of objects. And then whoever gets the most, it's all honor system. It wasn't really like a real game, but it was like, you know, say the most. And I didn't do that bad. I didn't do great. Like, there was always something I was like, some stuff I was forgetting, but I could remember a lot of it. But still, I don't know. Those kind of tests make me feel a lot of pressure.
One of the main tests they do for this kind of thing is they try and get you to draw a clock.
Draw a clock, just
Yeah,
generally.
draw a clock face. So yeah, so like one, two, to 12 with the hands and draw a clock.
Oh.
And most of the time, people can't do it if they've got,
Well,
dementia and things like
at some point, people won't be able to do it anyway because we don't even do like digital analog clocks anymore. It'll just be digital clocks. I feel like kids today like don't even know how to read a clock anymore.
My daughter does.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So Donald get picked up from the police station by Stan, and he's like, "Oh, he's my neighbor," and it's just a bit of a weird, unsettling. We've just been talking about it. He's a
It's like neighbor.
homosexual. He's a
Well,
homosexual. Hi, I'm here to pick him up. I'm his neighbor, and
but
everyone's like
also wait.
looking like.
But I mean, I'm sorry. Like, I don't like it was just the way they did it. He was like, well, wait, okay. He was in the Navy. He's never been married. He was carrying around some knitting, and then his best guy friend picks him up to take him
Well,
home.
it gets
Like,
worse, Jen. Did you see the scene where Stan and Donald went to the park
yes.
at night? And they were like, "Oh,
Yes.
it's, one day, hopefully, we'll be able to do it in the day, come to the park." Like, trying to say this weird, nefarious. I don't know. I just thought that's a bit weird. I don't like that.
Well, and I will say, like, I don't know where my head was at. I think I was just still like thinking about Barbara or whatever, but I was like, okay, wait. So this man, like the projectionist, I was like, okay, so they're together, like they've been together for this whole time. Like, what's going on? And then I really needed the scene with Stan and Olive for the whole explanation of like Stan being married and then his wife
Yeah.
dying and
Although,
then like that
Jen,
whole thing. Cause I didn't,
did.
I was like, I'm not getting whatever this is trying. I mean, like, I just
No,
wasn't
basically, the
getting it.
scene here is Olive's like, "What's going on between you and Donald? There's something really weirdish. You thought it was really
Oh,
strict."
well, because Stan says to Olive that Donald is going to come live with them. And she's
Yeah.
like, what? What are you talking about? And she's
But
like, no, I don't want that. And then he starts hating her.
did you not think they were like, he was speaking in riddles the whole time? He was like, "You can draw your own conclusions or settle for least said, soonest mended. He was my friend until your mother died." And then he's like, "There were things that we never needed to discuss. In a way that's best left unsaid," like this weird riddle.
I know. And then she's like, Dad, what the hell are you talking about? He's like, I told you it's best left unsaid. And she's like, I don't know what the hell is going on here. And you're really upsetting me. And it's just like, oh my God, this poor man. I mean, the thing is, that's a level of like being closeted that you, I mean, God bless. I mean, these poor gentlemen
Yeah.
just like no outlet for it. But the thing is, what I took to mean from it is that basically is that Stan obviously has been gay the whole time, but in a, it sounded like a happy marriage with
Yeah,
Olive's mother. So maybe he was not just strictly gay, maybe he was, more open in his sexuality or, whatever like that. And then,
but it sounded like he'd been very loyal to Olive's mum.
yeah, and faithful is what I got from the way he said
Yeah.
it, was basically like, your mom and I kind of had an understanding that, she and I were together and we had a relationship that worked for us. And then I was respectful for to that marriage until she passed away. And then my friendship with Donald, who that was always perhaps like simmering in the background a little bit. You
Yeah.
know, then we like fully became together and, but still not, obviously very closeted in that
And also,
relationship as
mother
well.
approved. Olive's mum obviously approved by saying, "Look
Well,
after each other," kind of thing.
apparently she said, like, listen, well, the thing is, he says, he's like, she gave me her blessing. She said she wanted me to be happy, whatever that,
Yeah.
like, however being happy would mean. And then Olive was like, well, this is way too much. I can't take this, which I mean, in all fairness to Olive, like
And to
that
be fair,
was.
the second that happened, her waters broke. So she got a case, and she went straight to
She's like, I'm out of here. I
yes,
really
the
can't
maternity
deal.
home.
Yeah.
Then she had a baby. What did she have?
A
A
girl?
girl.
Girl.
Now, my favorite thing about this whole thing, the whole episode was when Stan came in to see the baby, he said, "Do they have a hairdresser that comes in?"
You know what? I know that the Stan and Donald storyline was really serious because obviously there were a lot of serious issues, but I just loved those two. I loved the
Same.
two of them sat
They
in
were
the
so
waiting
sweet.
room. I loved the comment about the hairdresser. Oh, and I was obviously already emotional because of Barbara, but when Olive says to Donald, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And he says, "No, but I know that you're somebody that we love."
I know, absolutely
Oh,
killed me. And I just
I
loved that. I thought they were
know.
so gorgeous. And if I'm honest, I'd be thrilled to raise my child around those two.
I know.
Yeah,
They were
they
just,
sound
I just
amazing.
thought they were lovely. They're going to be a lovely family unit.
Yeah,
Yeah.
100%, 100%. I loved them.
Well, I mean, truly, it was one of the most, it was just such a sweet, 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 like time, like scene because I think all three of us could really picture the next 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years for this family. You know what I mean? Like Olive pitching in for Donald, you know, Donald holding the baby, Stan, you know, doing all, you know, it, like a really true loving household and very much like, let's just all forget, you know, normal conventions of how we should live. And like, we're going to live the life that we want to live the way we want to live it. And like, I don't care if I'm divorced. I don't care if, you know, my dad and his lover are, you know, like living together in the house with me. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, they're just like, you know what? Forget it. We're just going to live and be happy. And that's all that matters. And it really is all that matters. And also, Bex, I thought of you when they asked about the hairdresser because you're the one that told me that Kate Middleton had a hairdresser after the first baby was born. You were
She
like, don't,
did.
you were like, don't be fooled. There were hair and makeup people in that hospital. And I literally was so naive. I was like, wait, what? And I was so amazed by that. And then I thought about it every single
I wish
time.
I had a hairdresser because I had my hair cut a few weeks before, like 2 days, like a week or something before I had my hair cut. And I know it was on my due date, so it was like 6 weeks before, 6 days before, because I knew I wouldn't go into labor. So I like had it done. And I was like, I don't want it too short because I want to be able to put it up. And they were like, yeah. And it was really short for no apparent reason. I don't know why. And I couldn't put it up. And the whole time I was just having hair around my neck and I hated it.
Oh,
Ugh.
I know. Well, you were always so hot during that whole time.
Ugh.
You always were like, this, I'm too hot, I'm too hot, I'm too hot. Like for that whole, like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's
I was a
why
real
no
joy
one
to
wanted
be
to wear
around
up.
people.
I was convinced that, sorry, I'm getting back to call midwife. I just cut you off
How
there.
dare you? How dare
Sorry,
you
I'm
care
getting
about
back
your
to the
neighbor,
show.
Alex?
So we didn't mention that Warkworth Street maternity home has been closed. So there were loads of people giving birth in the maternity home.
Yes, which
I
also
was
was a scene that happened during Angela's birthday party, which we need to talk about as well.
convinced a baby was going to be switched. I was watching everybody give birth and I was like, no, it's a girl and a boy, so they're not going to be able to switch those. But I was just convinced that it was so chaotic that I was like, someone's going to end up with someone else's baby.
It was definitely given baby swap vibes. Also, Dr. Turner's comment about how the doctor at the other maternity home was like, should have retired a decade ago because he was so incompetent and like old and everything. And but then she was like, oh no, he's moving to a new practice. And I was like, oh great, great.
Yeah.
It was going to
But
be
she
a
was also
repeat.
like, we'll have some cake and a lovely game of oranges and lemons, and then we'll come up with a
What's oranges and lemons?
plan. Oranges and lemons, said the bells of St. Clement. No, when
No.
will you?
Yeah, but
No.
how do you play the game?
You go under arms and stuff, don't you? And then you do this turning. We used to play at primary school. You go
Oh,
under like the bells.
you would stand in a circle and hold hands, and
No,
then you'd
it's
all
more
kind of
like
give
you kind of do like a, you know, when people get married and they have like they walk under people's arms like
Oh,
a
yeah.
V, upside down V, like that. It's like that, but you do like this weird dance with it. I've not done it for, you know,
Okay.
35 plus years.
I'm sure we have a variation of that that I've played as a kid. We've all played as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very traditional game.
Yeah. Well, I will say when they went from Barbara's funeral and like all the sadness of that straight to the kid's birthday party, I just felt so much like I was like it was so jarring. It felt so jarring. And then I just thought,
Also,
no,
such a circle of life.
but that's life. Exactly. That's
Yeah.
what I was gonna say. I was like, that's life. You know, you literally like go from, you know, the saddest thing that could ever happen to something that is, you know, really just genuinely filled with so much joy. And it feels like so emotionally, you know, like a roller coaster, but that's the way it is. I mean,
Should we talk about the other birth as well? Nurse Crane, and what's the name of the young girl again?
Josie.
Josie Whitley, 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 I think.
I really thought Josie was lols. She was like proper, had an attitude on her. I loved her. I really liked her. You weren't supposed to like her, I don't think, but I just thought, I like you little scallywag.
I think she was actually supposed to be likable because in the beginning she was kind of one of those she was a bit snotty and you were kind of like oh well whatever and then she gave and then Phyllis gave her a hard time and she gave Phyllis a hard time but like in a way that it didn't feel like when they finally did have their big bonding moment there was much to overcome. It was like I don't know, I felt like they both acted that like really really well because you know like Phyllis says something to Josie about taking her iron pills and she's like no I'm not doing that like it makes my poop like black like it's disgusting I'm not doing it and then Phyllis is like oh okay well can you get up on the thing and she's like well yeah can you help me like I really can't do it myself and she's like no my lumbago is bad I'm not helping you and then she like kicks the step down on the you know the gurney or whatever where she's supposed to lay down and she's like, oh, okay. Well, you know, like they both kind of had a tit for tat kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah, and
reckon you might be too old for this. Reckon you might be too young.
Yeah, that was the comment that I loved.
Well, and then when she goes into labor, Phyllis comes in and she's like, okay. She's like, well, I'm gonna be helping you. She's like, oh, I can't have one of the young nuns. Like, I thought they'd be like way more cool and fun and like help me. And
I
she's
will
like,
say though,
no.
she was worried. She looked sad and weird and a bit scared, didn't she? And you think a bloody
Yeah.
mum had come in with her, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, she was totally alone the whole time. I just feel like it was one of those things where it was ultimately like, oh, this is a family shame and I just want you to get this over with. And then, you know, she
So
didn't
she
say
has the
that
baby,
explicitly,
and
but
she's
yeah.
like, but Barbara, not Barbara, slip of the tongue. Nurse Crane's like, oh, you're doing amazing. Like, you're doing amazing. You're doing so well. And then she just literally gives birth like shell and peas. She did so well.
Yeah.
And then Nurse Crane sees something on the floor and she's like, oh, pick it up, find a penny. Da, da, da. And then she's like, oh, your lumbago's better. And she's like, oh, yes, so it is. And then she asks, will I be allowed to give her a name? This got me. Absolutely.
Oh, I was
Absolutely.
sobbing, sobbing,
But it's the
sobbing.
way she says it as well.
I
Yeah.
know.
Something from me, just something that I can give them. So it's always something from me that I've given them. And then she was like, it popped into my head just before, and I don't know why. Barbara, it must have been floating in the air like a moth waiting to be caught. And my God, I was crying my eyes out.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
That.
Nurse Crane's like, Barbara, and oh.
Yeah. Well, and that really felt like one of those moments where it was just written so beautifully because it really felt like, you know, the person we've known Josie to be up to this point doesn't seem like the kind of person who would say something like that so
Yeah.
poetically or even have had that inspiration so organically. And so that really felt like, I mean, I don't know, depends on what, you know, people believe or whatever, but like it felt very much like Barbara's spirit just kind of taking over and inhabiting her for a brief moment. And then because Barbara had that beautiful way of speaking, you know, she had, you know, a real like wonderful way of kind of, you know, imparting thing. And I don't know, it just, oh God, it really had me going. And then when Nurse Crane picks up the baby and she's like, come on, Barbara, let's go.
I know.
And I, oh my God. Oh.
But to go back to Josie's birth, because obviously, and up until the point where Nurse Crane has basically been summoned from Nonato's house because they're so desperate. So Sergeant Wolf has had to give her a lift. She's also been told to bring all the gas and air. So not only has she got a bad back, she got to like
Oh yeah.
bring
Well,
all this.
and you know she must have been really hard up because for her to ask for a ride from Sergeant Wolf, like clearly she meant she was really in pain.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that Josie was left on her own. I think Lucille was with Olive. Then,
Val was with Dr. Turner and Sheila. There was three of them in one birth.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Turner, Sheila, and Val. I was like, that's overkill when you're so desperate.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a bit like, come on, guys, you're making her come out of here when she's not in fit state.
Well, the part that also broke my heart with Phyllis was when Sister Julienne was going out for the mother who had just called on the phone, and Phyllis is sat on the step and she's like, oh, I'm just not feeling myself today. And then she just tries to like bounce herself down the steps to get,
Oh.
you know, I was just like, oh, Phyllis, your back is so bad. And then when
That was
she was
like
like,
me after me knee. That's
oh
why I
my
got up the
God.
stairs.
I know, I know. And like, I mean, for anyone who's had back pain, like, no, it's just terrible. And Phyllis's back is going to be a theme, but I won't say more. But yeah.
And Becky's thinking, what you're
No, I do know. It was
just
literally the special.
I just love when she goes, lumbago. I don't know. The word lumbago is just so funny to me.
think it sounds posher than it is. Like it's a bad bite that really hurts.
Yeah. Well, I think it just means your lumbar. I mean, it's just basically
Yeah.
a flare up in your lumbar section, which, you know, join the club.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So, shall we go on to Reggie?
Yes, let's.
Yes.
Oh, Reggie is saying that Barbara looks lonely.
Oh, and then who
so
is he
hang
with?
On. So he's with Fred. That makes it look weird. Sound weird. So he's with Fred, tending to like the garden and the everywhere around.
His mother's grave.
And yeah. So then he looks at Barbara's grave, which is covered in flowers. So if anything, she doesn't really look that lonely, Reggie. If I'm honest, she sounded a bit weird. But he's saying she looks a bit lonely. And Fred said, well, she's got your mum. And Reggie says, but she's old.
I know. I love this when Fred said, because I'm just always worried that people have people.
And What did you say?
I just love that Fred said this because I'm always worried that, you know, like when someone passes, you're like, well, at least they're with so-and-so now.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Even though it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. But when our cat died, my daughter was just like, oh, well, he can go and sit on his grandma's knee now. Like, yeah, but it's true. I always think the same as well. You know, they're up in heaven together. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that you told when you're little to kind of make you feel better. But I'm 42 and I'm still thinking it.
Well, the thing is, I don't know. I mean, everybody has their own, you know, way of feeling about this. But I mean, I will say, like, I don't have to get into it. Anyway, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you guys. Well, the thing is, I don't literally think that there's like a heaven that looks like a waiting room, not a waiting room, like a living room with all your family inside of it. And then when you die, you like go there and it's like, oh my God, wow. Hey, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, I don't think that's the way it is. But at the same time, I do kind of think, I guess that there's, you know, you go back, you know, you're reunited with the ones that went before you, you know, so.
I hope it's something like that. That'd be lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone believes whatever, you know, they're, you know, everything they're
like
their
I don't
own,
think
you know, so.
I'm as important as that in life now, but you know, maybe someone else does. Anyway, that's bad. So Violet was worried about the fact that Reggie keeps going about buying stuff, and she's like, I just don't want him to be taken advantage of. And Fred had a really amazing point, because Fred was like, well, maybe he wants to buy. It's like people like buying stuff for other people, but also
he likes giving
him
gifts.
Yeah, but it also makes him feel good. It helps him feel good. So I really like that perspective from Fred, because I was like, yeah. She is worried about him being fleeced or whatever, but actually he enjoys that independence. It's good for him to go out and do things that he likes, and it makes him feel good buying for others and makes him feel, you know, that's his money that he's earned. It makes him feel independent. I just thought that was a really, really good point that I hadn't thought of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you guys are into the love languages, but that's one of the love languages is gift giving. Maybe that's Reggie's love language.
Yeah.
Is the love language the way you show love or the way you like to be shown love?
Well, so I think it's both. I think that some people like to show love in a certain type of way. Like they love to give gifts. And then I also think they like to receive love in a certain type of way. And sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're not the same. But also I think everybody can have like multiple as well. And again, I mean, I don't think anyone needs to like overthink it and get too attached to the love languages, but I think it's a nice way. I feel like it's a nice way of thinking about, you know, how you can, you know, like love people, you know, and like acts of service, physical touch, you know, words of affirmation, you know, I mean, we all have our ways.
Like a lot of this year's Love Island All Stars was about love languages. There was a lot of talk about it.
It was, yes, there was a lot of it. Yeah, exactly. It was very interesting watching this batch of people because they've all been through it before and they're all also like a little bit older. And it was kind of interesting to see how they kind of changed versus when they were in there before, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Was anyway, sorry, back to Reggie.
Yeah, this is not a Love Island podcast, we promise.
So Reggie bought the most amazing,
oh my God, this also broke just so many
oh seasons. When I saw okay, sorry Bex,
the most gorgeous carousel to put,
man.
Which is just gonna rest on the grey.
Bex.
It certainly is, though. But he bought this most gorgeous carousel to put on Barbara's grave, which I think really helped Tom as well, because Tom was thinking about, does he want to go over to be with Barbara's dad? And he just felt really weird about the whole situation. But I also feel like Reggie kind of looking out for Barbara this end gave him some kind of peace of mind or peace of heart to leave, to go over there, because he knew that Barbara would kind of be tended to while he was there as well. She wasn't alone. And I know...
Did Tom decide he was going to go?
I didn't see a resolution in this episode. I
in
think
his
he's
mind,
still thinking
he
about
next.
It.
Spoiler for next week, everyone.
Well, I will say he's definitely working on his grief, because I mean he comes back from being with his parents for a week and he shows up in like plain clothes, and then he comes to Nanata's house with a suitcase filled with Barbara's things, which was heartbreaking, and he gives them to Sister Winifred, and she's like, and she basically is like, what are you doing here with these? Like, you don't what you know, and he's and his intent is to like have them be given out to people who need them, I guess, like the poor people or whatever. And
Because
she's
that's
like,
what they need, a midwife's uniform.
well, yeah, exactly. And like, you know, Barbara's like, you know, handmade cocktail dress. But the thing is that then Winifred is like, well, you know, listen, like, I don't think this is really what you want. And Barbara and Tom says, oh, well, Barbara always wanted to find a way to help people. And so this is like a way that she can keep doing that.
And
And
she's not wrong,
then,
to be fair.
which, no. But then I was actually glad in this moment that Sister Winifred just said, you know, listen, like, I understand how you feel and I respect that, but I am just going to put these to the side. And then later on down the road, if that's still what you want to do, we can do that. But I just don't want you to make a decision now in the middle of just, you know, this intense situation that then you may come to, you know, not wish you had made later on, which I think was very,
Yeah,
very
no,
smart of
yeah,
her.
to she's done totally
I was
right being
glad.
there.
Yeah,
The
she
last
really
scene
has.
as well in this whole episode is a scene of Barbara's grave with the rose that Tom put there because she had him on the wedding day,
Yeah.
carousel that Reggie put there, and then it started snowing, and that set me off again.
Oh my God, I
Yeah.
know.
The other thing that set me off was because obviously, because normally Sister Winifred isn't great in these situations. No
Right.
offense, but she.
She's not here. It's fine.
She did absolutely the right thing. She took the clothes because obviously Tom felt he had to pass them on, but she said he would keep them so that if he regretted that decision, they had them.
Yeah.
But also, when she takes them upstairs to the girls, and the girls are like, Barbara belongs with us.
Yeah.
I know. Although I did put a note
Oh.
here that my husband would love to have a Sister Winifred just to leave a load of tat with of mine. Not when I've died, just because he's just sick of my tat everywhere. He just wants house clear. It's like a minimalist, and he just wants stuff in the loft or put stuff away, and there's just my tat everywhere. Mojo's birthday. Now, can I just say, ladies, Monica Joan, Mojo, why have we never once? I've called her SMJ for all these years, like a loser. Why have I not called her Mojo before?
I don't know. I really don't know. You let the
Sister
side
Monica
down on that
Joan,
one.
Sister Mojo. So it was her birthday as well as Angela's. And oh, can I just say as well? So Val has basically been just a ray of gorgeous sunlight throughout the whole thing. She was like, it doesn't, a smile costs nothing. It doesn't, just stop turning your mouth at the sides. I was like, all right. But she'd had a scene with Sister Julienne, and Sister Julienne was like, let me just say that your good naturedness has not gone unnoticed. But it's, you know, Miss, what's her surname? Val
Valerie Dyer.
Dyer. Nurse Diet. And I just thought that was actually really nice for her to say as well, because it's obviously Sister Julienne, she's amazing. But I think Val has been really gorgeous in this episode, really supporting everyone. But also, she wanted to go to Mass to see how it kind of helped people. The only reason for this, because she's not interested in religion, if anything, she's fervently against it, has been the last however long. But she wanted to go to Mass. But she was lolling at the prayers that Sister Monica Joan came up with, because Sister Mojo, so they kind of had a few storylines kind of mixed together, you know how they all do. They all kind of pass over each other. And she'd been going to the cinema where Olive's dad worked, and because their TV had broken, the cathode ray tube had gone. I wrote that down. And apparently it's quite expensive to fix. So she'd been going to the cinema to watch the news, but actually then she'd be watching films as well. And it was the Mad, 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 Mad Life, or it's a Mad, 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 Mad Life.
World, mad, mad, mad,
World.
mad world. Yeah.
Sorry, yes. And the prayers in this mass were just hilarious. They were about all the people from the news, and then it was all this absolute ridiculousness from that it's a mad, mad,
It was
mad, mad
like, may
world.
the elastics and undergarments of the
I've
Young
got them
Ladies
written down.
Society.
Oh,
Oh my
have
God.
you? Oh, do
Yeah,
all.
here we go,
It
Bex.
was the factory explosion in Japan,
Yep.
the by-election in Dumfriesshire, everyone performing in the Royal Variety Performance, the British nylon industry, and then Mr. Spencer Tracy, obviously the actor.
In a mad, 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 mad world. And then Sister Julian is like, okay, can we just skip to the sick and needy and the poor in our, you know, more impoverished situation? And she ends, you know. And then
That's so good.
afterwards, Sister Julian and them all are at lunch, and Sister Julian is looking at the list of like prayer requests. And she's like, oh my God, I'm really glad we skipped. Like, there's so many in here that are basically just, you know, the young boy in the scene in the movie, you know, and like she just, oh, she just goes on and on and
So
on.
then Val has an idea about Mojo's birthday, Sister Monica Joan's birthday. And It was like, well, Sister Winifred's like, well, you can't actually have, you know, do gifts or anything like that, because in the order we're not allowed presents. I thought she's had loads of presents before.
I was going to say, absolutely. They've bent the rules a lot in the order.
Yeah. I wonder room's if like a flaming... Have you seen a room?
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Sister Julian just wanted to be like, listen, we're all sad. Can you just like skip your birthday this year, lady? I don't want to do it.
Cynthia accepted gifts from people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
True. The video, though, that they showed, which we spoke about at the start of this, absolutely killed me. But there was one scene in particular, Bex, that made me think of you. And it was the Boxing Day 1962 picture that came up.
I knew you were going to say that. And that's why it's important to do it. When people die, you can look back and be like, oh, yeah, 1962, they were there.
Well, tell it to yourself, because you promised us you'd do it, didn't. I reminded you, and you still didn't do it.
Bex, you need to just pick a holiday and make a sign, and then have you Easter. And your family all stand. Yeah, Easter, yeah, there you go.
Easter one.
You're not going to do it. Also,
listeners, you heard it here first. She's going to
do it.
This
was November 1963. How do we know that?
Oh, because President Kennedy was shot. Yeah.
November 22nd,
1963. Oh, golly.
Sister Winifred came in crying.
What a time for Sister Monica Joan not to have the television.
I know. I thought that, you know, then she had a tiny TV and she was like, oh, just, you know, while you're watching this, we'll then get ready for the cinema. I thought, don't stop watching this. This is like prime Sky News. You know what I'm like when an event happens?
Oh, I love
an event. Great on Sky News, yeah.
I know.
Me and Alex text each other constantly.
Yeah, we do love it. We do love a live event.
When the Capitol riots were happening on January 6th,
awful, but me and Bex were loving it.
Well, I'm glad you were enjoying it. Yes, watching my country get torn apart. That's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
We just like a live event. I watched the Brits last night. It was awful.
Oh, really? Mm. I saw the BAFTA, the fashions from the BAFTA I saw were pretty good, right? Weren't the BAFTAs just a week or so ago?
Yeah. Okay. Me and my daughter always look at the red carpet looks the next day, and she says what she likes and what she doesn't. She liked Dua Lipa's leather dress last night.
Oh, whoa.
Thought she looked good.
Fashion police. Little Bobs.
Shall we do Heroes and Zeros?
Yes, let's.
Who's going first?
Not me.
Oh,
you're going to go first, Sal.
I'm going to go Val. I thought Valerie was amazing.
For Hero. Okay.
I've chosen this because I thought I was going to go last. So I've gone with Val for Hero. I thought she was an absolute ray of sunshine. I thought she was really thoughtful, really lovely, really kind. I just thought she was amazing. She was just lovely. She was just good to everyone, to Lucille, to Nurse Crane, to Sister Julienne, to Sister Monica Jones. She was just fantastic. A very, very welcome, lovely girl. Really like her. My zero this week is going to be Sergeant Wolf.
Ooh.
I thought he was a real job's worth about Donald with his trousers. Donald, where's your trousers? I've just realised. I wonder if that's why they called him Donald. So yeah, he is my zero this week. I thought he was really judgmental and awful and just quick to dismiss someone without even realising that, you know, it was actually to do with an illness this time. I thought I didn't like his attitude and down with him.
Yeah, fair.
My hero is going to be Stan.
Aww.
Because he's just welcomed everybody into his home.
Yeah.
He's welcomed Olive. He's welcomed Don. I mean, they are his family, so... But I just love them. They're a lovely family unit. So I wanted to make it stand. And then my zero is going to be dementia.
Oh, good zero.
Because it's just such a hard disease, because you essentially lose somebody twice. And then there's glimmers where you've not lost them. It's just a really hard situation.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My zero.
I just say, I really like how you do your zeros first. And I always think, I wish I had my foresight to do that. And I do every week. I do have the foresight. I've got forewarning and everything. And I never do it. Carry on.
Well, I always just like to say something sad. You know, like, I want to go.
No, I think you're right. I think it's gorgeous. And I wish that I ever remembered. Carry on.
My zero is going to just be... Oh, man. The thing is, this episode is really, really tough for so many reasons. And kind of my biggest zero is just the pain and loss of like losing Barbara and like watching everybody just be so grief stricken with that. I'll just say that is my zero, because honestly, it's just so painful and it's so sad. And I just like when you're in that place, like it's just the worst and it's terrible. And, you know, it is just one of the most foundational parts of human life. And like, there's no way you can escape it. And, you know, it ultimately does teach you a lot about, you know, what this life is about, but God, it's just still terrible to go through. So I'll give it a zero for that. But, you know, flip side of that is I am going to give the hero to Tom this week because... I mean, I don't think there's any, you know, value in kind of comparing grief. And I really do think that, you know, everyone is genuinely really, really, really hurting over losing Barbara. And I know how deeply Phyllis feels it. And I know that everyone is just really heartbroken over her loss. But I think Tom is affected in a very special and particular way at it. And, you know, my heart just goes out to him. And the reason I'm going to give him the hero is because, you know, he really is trying to navigate one of the most serious things he'll ever go through in his life. And I think he's honestly doing a good job. You know, he's really, really trying. And I just, like, again, like I said it earlier, but, you know, the thing you have to do when you're in that place is just keep going and just keep trying. And it's the last thing that I think anybody would want to do. And it's the last thing that you feel you can do. But you know, he's trying, and you know, he just does a great job of conveying that, and I just feel for him. And you know, Tom in the show has not been one of my like top favorite characters, but I gotta give credit where credit is due, and I just think that, you know, he gets my hero this week. So
I'm gonna do two more bonus heroes because I feel like I thought these were gonna get said. So Nurse Crane, I thought we were going to get there.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's why I chose Val. So Nurse Crane, 100%. And also okay. Reggie for being so thoughtful and lovely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Now, I've got some correspondence, ladies.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this about our listeners. I did not realise we had so many listeners who weren't deaf, but are mega into sign language. Do you know when we were talking about sign language? We have had so many messages. So if I'm not reading yours out now, I do apologise. We've had so many where people are like,
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to pull it back here. Why the sign language?
We were talking about sign language because we were talking about Braille.
Oh.
And we were talking about American Sign Language, weren't we?
Versus like yes. British Sign Language. Because we always call, I always think of it as ASL, but I clearly was a dummy and did not realize that there were so many different versions of sign language out there.
So I'm going to read a few examples for you. Okay. So this is from Rebecca on Instagram. She says, all countries have their own sign language. BSL has different dialects, so the sign changes depending on where you go. And also different communities. For example, deaf people from African and Caribbean descent have different signs within their culture. It is fascinating to me. The blind and deaf use a similar version, but it's done on the person's palm so they can feel it, which is amazing. But very Helen Keller, do you remember that?
Yeah.
This is someone else on Instagram. I don't know if people want me to say the names or not, so I'm just going to say. ASL can understand BSL. Both languages use non-manual signals, but they are used differently in each language. ASL tends to rely heavily on facial expressions, while BSL relies more on body movements and hand shapes. For example, a raised eyebrow or smile in ASL can convey emotion, whereas in BSL, the way the hands move may be more critical. These are amazing.
It is mind-boggling.
Also, don't you think that says so much about American culture versus British culture? Because I feel like, that's fascinating. I feel like that's fascinating.
It is fascinating, to be fair. Someone on Instagram says, a note about sign language. American Sign Language is developed from French Sign Language, as well as colloquial signing by the American School for the Deaf, ASD, which was founded by Thomas Golladay. Do apologise, everyone. He was an American who travelled to Europe to study methods of teaching deaf students and was introduced to manual communication at a school in Paris. Because of this different source of origin, ASL is not mutually intelligible with BSL and Auslan, although the languages sometimes borrow signs from each other. Like, I'm not being funny, but how clever are our listeners, guys?
Yeah.
I love this. This is such good information.
I know. So Tina says, there are many kinds of sign languages. In the US, there are different dialects. There is BSAL, which is Black ASL, and its own language. Sign language is not just a sign, it's expression. The meaning of a word can change with facial expression, finger placement. It's a complex living language. I'm not deaf, I'm just fascinated. I just find that so amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, girls, I'm just going to throw out a recommendation for all of our listeners who've written in. And this is a recommendation for absolutely everybody too. But it was a wonderful, okay, so I know we all know the show Queer Eye for, you know, and so I think it's the newest season, but I'm not sure, but it's the season, I think there maybe are two seasons where they're in New Orleans, but at least it's the season where they're in New Orleans, and one of their guys that they're gonna do like a makeover and the whole thing with is a gentleman who is deaf and is a coach and teacher at an all-deaf school in New Orleans. And they do the whole, he's adorable and so cute, whatever. He doesn't really need that much of a makeover, but they do all the stuff for his school. And basically what they talk to him about is taking time for himself because he just gives so much to everybody at his school. And, you know, he has a beautiful family and everything like that. He's like such a sweet, sweet guy. But it was a really fascinating episode for me to watch because he talks about how important it was important for him to have the opportunity to go to a place where everyone was like him, where everyone was deaf, and then he would sign all the time. And so he wants to keep the opportunity for kids to be at a school where everybody is deaf so that they can be in a community where they can have that, you know, kind of life experience, because there's a bigger push at the moment for children who either are deaf or hearing impaired to kind of do a lot of therapies and different that, and then be integrated into kind of a hearing world. And his opinion is that that's not really always the best choice, that you should have this option to go to a school where everyone is deaf. So anyways, highly recommend, but he was signing the whole time. And then they showed at the end of the episode that they had people who helped with the sign language interpretation while they were doing the episode, obviously. And so they did a big shout out to that. And this man talked about how powerful it was for him when he was growing up, that all of his family learned sign language once they realized that he was deaf. And so then, and he especially had a super close relationship with his father. It's just a beautiful episode. But you know, just thinking about that as I'm like hearing all of this from these listeners, anyway, just wanted to recommend that because it was just such a cool episode.
Well, look out for that. But yeah, really, thank you to everyone who messaged in about it as well.
Yeah, it made me think about it in a very different way.
Tell you what, it did make me feel, though, less thick about the Boer War, because we've had like one person messaging about that. So obviously everyone's not an expert on that. So we've had another one. I've got two more. One from Debbie, and she's listening from Canada.
Hello.
Yes, our $1 coin is unofficially called a loony because there is a loon on the face, and our $2 coin is unofficially called a toonie. First time commenting, but I am addicted to your podcast and I'm either laughing or crying. Good job, ladies. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you so much for listening.
Debbie.
I know. Love it. Julie Coe also says, this is another one.
Barbara returns.
Yay. The next book is not as bleak as the last one. There are some familiar stories. Megan Maeve and the Captain's Daughter, a nice chapter about Chummy's wedding. I've just got past Megan Maeve and I did actually really enjoy it. So,
we're going to have to agree to disagree. I like that.
Well, we'll talk about it in a minute. We'll also talk about the episode. But I've got one more before we go on to the next bit. Mm-hmm. So this is from Meg. Hi, I'm Meg from Wales and this podcast is amazing.
Oh, Meg.
That's not it. I just wanted to have a dramatic pause. Thank
you,
Meg.
Even if you said nothing else, that would be enough.
I have currently been having a bad time with my mental health and my GCSEs are getting too much. The podcast is a fantastic way of escapism and CTM is my comfort program for when things get too much, and I'm just listening to you three lovely ladies talking about Call the Midwife. Alex reminds me of this lovely teacher I have at my school. Also, I love learning about other perspectives on Call the Midwife. Jen, you are like the only American that seems like a human being and I just love it. And I have a friend called Beck and she reminds me of you, Bex.
I know.
So anyway, I was like, look, are we okay to share this? Because I didn't want to share anything, you know.
Yeah.
She was like, I'm 100% fine with you putting this in your next pod. And then she said, I've been watching Call the Midwife since I was 11 years old. I only just turned 16 today. I've just realised she's just turned 16 today. Happy birthday, Meg.
Happy birthday,
and I only
Meg.
Just found your pod recently and I love it. I need to write back. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Meg. And massive happy birthday in about 2 to 3 weeks to you.
happy birthday. And also just know that like we've all been there and hang in there and we all support you and we all hope you are feeling good and doing great.
Yeah, it's really stressful, but don't worry about it. It'll all be fine.
It will all be fine. And, you know, just you're going to do great. And remember, you know, lean on your supports and you will get through it.
Yeah.
And happy birthday. And I hope you eat lots of birthday cake. Meg, I went to a birthday party last night. I was the person who brought the birthday cake. I did pick a birthday cake that I knew would be enjoyed by all, but I also picked it because it was a cake I really wanted to eat. And I ate a piece of cake yesterday and I ate a piece of cake today. And I highly encourage you to celebrate your birthday with lots of treats.
Do you know what, kids? You know what I had today?
What?
Cake. Because I've been to two birthday parties as well today. I went to four kids' birthday parties today. It was lovely. No, it was actually lovely. I did actually have a lovely time, but I'm just a bit exhausted. You know, when it's a bit like, whoa, that's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah.
Kids are each screaming. But we went shopping yesterday. It's a long story. It's not actually. We just went shopping yesterday. And but I found this egg-free cake box, which is where we got our wedding cake from originally, because obviously I'm allergic to eggs. So I got two big slices of cake, one for me and my daughter, but we were going to share them. Anyway, she was a bit like, it's a bit rich. And I'm like, no, it's not. Downed it in one. Oh my goodness, it was absolutely delicious. I've actually had proper cake and it's been well good.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I love it. And also, a good slice of cake.
Exams are just so, like, my stress dream, even now, I'm always back at university in my stress dream.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got an exam that I've not revised for, or I've got an essay and I can't get the books from the library. Like, that's just my stress, go-to stress dream. And I think you just got to do a little bit, little and often, and it all adds up.
Mm-hmm. Whereas my stress dream, this is full circle, we've come back to, because my stress dream is me walking around topless.
Well, girls, I had a dream last night that there was a whole part of my house, that my new house, that I didn't even know I had. Like,
you know,
like,
what that is? That is overwatching of TikToks, because there's so many TikToks of people being like, oh my God, I didn't even know I was here. Have you seen those videos?
Yes.
I didn't even know. Oh, I did watch one of those where they pulled a portion of their wall off and they found a door. Yeah. And then they opened the door and they were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly. And see, that's where you got it from. Also, the ones that get me are the ones who've like we've lived here for 6 months. They obviously have known about this. They're like, we've lived here for 6 months. We've not known about it. And it's like, well, where did you think that door led to? Or where did you think that wall led to? Like, you obviously did. This is just for social media likes.
I like the ones where they've just got a little bit of the wall, the door away, but then they can see a case or a box or something, and they're always like, we don't know what's going to be in there, and it's never anything good.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, but speaking of nothing good, farewell to the East End. We're going to be reading that book and doing a book review. So this we're going to have next week's episode, which will be the Christmas episode. Then we'll have the recap episode. And then we'll be doing a book review. And it's usually two episodes because book reviews are quite long. On Farewell to the East End by Jennifer Wirth. Mm-hmm. I am halfway through, or over halfway through now. As Julie Coate has said, there are some bits that are quite nice in it. I'm being mainly it's bleak.
No, sorry. Julie, with as much love as I have for you, No, I completely disagree. The second book was way better than the third book. Sorry. I mean, I still love you, and listen, you know, agree to disagree. You know, opinion is always, you know, perspective is reality. So I love that you think
I've not enjoyed any of the books, if I'm honest, considering how much I love Call the Midwife. Books, it's just, I just still am absolutely in awe of Heidi Thomas's skill to get something so gorgeous and poignant and loving and amazing, and something for women, and just out of something so bleak and dark and awful.
I will say, the one part of book three that I did think thank bleep this makes it all worth it is when they get to the chummy part. And I will say that part actually, I won't say anymore, but I'm just saying, wait till you get to the chummy part. And just that, honestly, I was like, thank God for this. Like, it really, I'll talk about it when we talk about the book, but anyways,
I just don't enjoy reading Cockney rhyming slang.
Same.
Well, I did the audiobook, and I've already complained about this once, but the girl who did it, oh my God, she's trying to, talk about trying to win a BAFTA. This chick is trying to win a verbal BAFTA.
This was Juliet Stevenson when I listened, and I wasn't into it.
Yeah, she's got all these voices. And
first book. So I wonder if it is still her.
It's just one of those things where it's just like, can you calm down? Can you just please calm down? Like, we don't need this. But she's just doing the most. So, and I just wanted to listen to it because that was just the way that I knew I could, like, get through it. I still have I have the hard copy, so I'm going to use a hard copy to, like, refresh my memory and then make notes when it's time for us to talk about it.
Well, put it this way. I listened to the first book, and then I've not listened to any more since.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually kind of in an audiobook era, and so I'm trying to, you know, because I'm just finding that it's easier for me to kind of listen sometimes, because if I'm, like, cooking or driving or, you know, like, whatever, I can put the audiobook on, and then I can actually, like, read books I want to read, because I'm sometimes having a hard time, like, finding time to just, quote, sit and, like, just look at a book for,
you know what I listen to when I have time.
What?
Rock music.
Recall the Midwife.
Wrong.
And if that's you listening to Recall the Midwife, you should like and subscribe.
Yes, exactly. Follow us on, are we on Spotify, Al?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Of course we are. You met me.
Yeah, yeah. My cousin was like, can I listen on Spotify? And I was like, yes. I was like,
yes, you can. Yes, we're you on very
all,
much
we're,
can.
We're on all the
podcasts. We were on people's Spotify Wrapped, people.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that for us. I love that for them.
I love it more for them, because they're the lucky ones getting to listen.
I know.
To be honest, I've come across way too smug in this. I am only joking, by the way.
We're just very grateful people enjoy. So yeah, listen to us and all that stuff, and like and subscribe. And
yeah, and if you've got any comments or any messages you want to give, I love doing the listeners' feedback and stuff.
Yeah,
so yeah, send us any questions you have or anything like that. That'd be amazing. And yeah, one more thing actually before we go. Jen, tell us what you've made.
Girls, I made the Fluffernutter bars that were featured in a previous episode, and then I had saved it on Instagram, and so I made it, and I will say I made the bar portion exactly as recipe called for, but I didn't do the frosting because I thought that would be a bit much for me. But then when I cut the bars, I covered it in marshmallow fluff, and it was delicious. It was truly delicious. I really, really do highly recommend. Although I will say it was a bit, I think the frosting is actually a very important part of it. I don't know if I would make, I don't know. I kind of want to try them again, because for me, the richness of the bars in terms of like the flavors of like peanut butter and like all that kind of stuff like that, I do think the frosting is very important there, because the bars had a milder kind of flavor, but they were flipping good, man. And if you just want an excuse to have a peanut butter and marshmallow treat, they're delicious and very easy to make, actually. Like they were.
Well, I promised I'd make them with Bob's.
You should.
So,
yeah.
What I'm going to do is probably bring it to Bex's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but can you do like an egg replacer for baking and stuff?
I do. I have bought one because we've used it before.
Because there's a way around the eggs in there. I think there's.
Yeah, but
I think
it's in the fluff.
Oh, but some marshmallow fluff doesn't have egg. Oh, well, I guess the one you found, it only had egg in it, right?
Yeah, we only found it in one place. Like.
Oh, because you know, you can make marshmallows without using egg whites.
Yeah, loads of marshmallows don't have egg whites in. The flavor fluff does.
Yeah, because they're really just like a gelatin sugar. I made marshmallows over Christmas and they didn't have any eggs in.
Check it you was out. Just, like a Mary Berry over there.
I know. I just saw a recipe and I was like, oh, I think that looks good. And I had some egg. I had some. The reason why I even found it was because I was like, oh, I need to use egg whites. And I thought that that would be a way to do it. And then all the recipes I found were just like sugar, basically like a sugar mixture and then gelatin. And then I had gelatin and I was like, well, okay, I guess I, you know. So anyways, I just ended up making marshmallows. But they turned out pretty good. I wouldn't make them the exact same way. Anyways, I don't have to tell everybody about all that. But just to say, you can make marshmallows without eggs if you want to. And
we're so rubbish at finishing the part, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just need to say bye now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we do.
Thank you so much for listening. See you next week.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.